shadows above me never conceal my Savior and God. He is the light, in Him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to His side. I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing His praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. And it's heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. Beautiful. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who has a special spoken on their heart tonight? Pam? All right. Anybody else tonight with a prayer request? John? All right, brother. Okay. Dwayne, would you care to take up our offering tonight for us? Thank you. You bless our offering tonight, Dwayne. We're going to sing another one tonight, and then John's going to come and share a song with us. 410 in your book, 410. You can remain seated.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a prayer. Just found a free to all a healing stream flow from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever till my raptured soul. And mercy found me there, the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever till my raptured soul shall find.
I'll watch and wait, helping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river.
There's a light in the window, and the table spread is friendly. Someone's standing out in the open door. I can see a crystal river. I must be near forever known. I've never been this homesick. See the bright
light shine,
it's just about
home time.
I can see
my father standing at the door.
This world has been a
wilderness,
and I'm ready for
deliverance.
Lord, I've
never been this home.
I can see the family gathered, sweet faces, they're all familiar. But no one's old and feeble anymore. Oh, this lonesome heart is crying. Thank God, spread my wings for flying. Oh, I've never been this homesick before. See the bright
light shine,
it's just about
home time.
I can see
my father standing
at the
door.
This world has been a
wilderness,
and I'm ready for
deliverance.
Lord, I've
never
about
home time.
I can
see my father standing
at the
door.
This world has been a
wilderness,
and I'm ready for
deliverance.
Lord, I've
never been this homesick
before. Lord, I've
never.
No sound up here in the monitor.
I was trying to sound it, but I couldn't sound it. We you know, we've never been this homesick before, right? Okay, we finished, before we got into Zephaniah, we finished a book called Habakkuk. Do y'all remember that? Do y'all remember the last three verses in Habakkuk? Say yes. Thank you. I want to make sure you remembered those. I'm going to revisit those, the last three verses, because there is a message there that we Christians need desperately. And you may already know it. That's fine. Nothing wrong with a repeat, right? Nothing wrong with hearing it again. Yeah. If it takes more than one time for me to remember something anyway. But this is not something you have to memorize. This is something that you already have. We just haven't hoed around it and fed a little fertilizer and watched it grow a little bit. Every Christian has what I'm going to be talking about. Every Christian. But boy, you couldn't tell it by looking at some of us. Guarantee you. Whatever's in our hearts ought to show out sometime on our face. If that's what we have. I don't care if people think you're drinking. You know? I mean, they were accused of it in the Bible. We ought to be a happy people, a joyous people, because when we got saved, we got that. And you probably didn't remember that. You probably don't remember exactly how or what you got at the time. But I assure you that if you got saved, you got a good old-fashioned dose of a joy in your heart. It made you happy to know where you were after you accepted Christ as your Savior. So in Habakkuk 3, and we'll go back and read it, because this is the greatest thing you'll ever read in the Bible anywhere about how and why a person ought to have joy in their hearts. So let's read it. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. Is it coming back to you now? The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. You remember it? Now, there's nothing more bleak than this picture. Verse 17 is a dark picture. It is very dark. But he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now I'm going to ask you, how can he do that? How does that happen? Where's your joy? What do you get joy in doing? We'll stick with the church life for one thing. What brings you joy when you come to the house of God? Are there any distinct things that you can put your finger on that you can say, that makes me happy when I get into the house of God? I'm just waiting on you. Yeah. Yeah. Music, the Word. You can't beat the Word, by the way. This we need to fall in love with so that we're where we need to be. If we have fallen in love with God's Word, when we sing a song, it will come more alive than it's ever come in your lifetime. If you know what the song is about, you've experienced what the song is about, it'll come alive. Now let's go. Because we just painted the bleak picture, and he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He took it back to where it all began, and that was the joy of his salvation, through the God of his salvation. The Lord God is my strength. You know that, don't you? And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. Yeah, I explained when we went into Habakkuk, I explained the hinds' feet, didn't I? Remember it? It was an animal that lived on the side of the mountain. One of the most sure-footed beasts that ever went across the mountain. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. No fear. There's no fear of height for this. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. We even said that this was a song that he wrote, chapter 3. And then he presents it in the very last line. He presents it to the chief singer so that it can get into the list of songs that would be sung on Sunday morning by the Liberty Fellowship Choir. I thought I'd get a smile out of the choir members. Okay, now we've read that. Now we'll cover it. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to guide our minds now and direct our minds. And if you came with a whole lot of stuff on your mind and what you're going to do after church, see if you can drop that for just a moment. And let's let our hearts listen more than our ears, okay? I think if our hearts listen, our ears will catch it. I do. God, we're thankful for the secret that you've shown us here of how we can abide in your joy, the joy of knowing that we belong to you and you belong to us. God, we're so grateful that we can be a people who, can, no matter what the circumstances are, we can enjoy the joy that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for everything. I thank you for allowing us to be with Shirley this afternoon. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing for her. I ask that you continue to touch her. God, give her the physical strength to get up and get out and go. Lord, help her to handle it spiritually. We just praise you, God, for everything that you're going to do for her. And for all these other requests of prayer that's been given here tonight, Lord, you know every one of them. And we trust you to give us the answer so we can glorify you when we see that answer come to be. And we're going to praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. He wasn't the only one who got to this place to where he could say that everything's falling apart. I'm in the darkest spot ever in my life, yet I can rejoice. He's not the first one. And hopefully, he will never be the last one. Hopefully, everybody who's sitting here tonight, when you get into your darkest day in your life, and you may think you've already been there, probably haven't. But when you get there, you'll know what it's like to trust God with every fiber of your being so that he can show you internally, not externally. Because you see, Christians who are true believers, their joy is not in laughter. Their joy is not in having a party kind of time. The world thinks like that. If the world's not in a party session and everybody's laughing and carefree and having a good time, there's no joy or happiness there. For them, that's where theirs is. But there's none there, I can assure you. That is make-believe happiness. That is make-believe joy. It will quickly fade away. But the joy you have in your heart that may never show in your life as far as how you show it on your face or the sound of your voice and laughter, it'll show it deep down in your heart, and you'll have a settled peace inside you. Jacob put it this way. He said, "Bless me, Lord, and I will serve you." And he knew that when he was blessed, that's what he would do. I don't believe that we can actually make a promise to God that we're going to serve him if we're not where Habakkuk was in this. that no matter what comes in my life, I'm going to serve him. And I'm going to be happy in it, and I'm going to show joy in it. My face may not show it. So if you ever see my face that looks like I'm down in the ditch, don't say, what's wrong with you? That's usually what happens to somebody like me. I can't not have a smile on my face or be laughter and happy, and I can't do that because that's the way I've always been. And if I'm not there, people think I'm really bad off. In fact, they wonder if I'm going to make it another day. Some of you may not have had to contend with that. I have had to contend with that. And it's okay. I don't mind. It's a burden I'll bear. It'll be fine. But Jacob said, Lord, you bless me, and I'll serve you. And I'll serve you with a happiness on my face. Paul put it this way. He said, because you have been so good to me. He knew what God had been to him. And because of that, he had that. That's not what made him happy, that God was good to him. What made him happy was he knew the one who had been good to him. So it's not all in what you can conjure up from the outside. It's what you have on the inside. Paul knew what he had with the Lord. He knew his relationship. Didn't he? Yeah, he did. And so, and of course, we all know the story of Job. Job said, though you slay me, I'll still serve you. Not going to quit serving you, Lord. You can go ahead and kill me if you want to, but that's okay. But all of these men were, in a sense, saying the same thing that Habakkuk said when he said, "If though everything would be gone, though there wouldn't be anything here for me to stay for on this earth, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to serve you with happiness. I'm going to have joy in my heart, and since I have joy in my heart, I'll just rejoice. I'll bring it back up and do it again." That's what rejoicing is, by the way. It's just bringing that joy back out and re-in it. You got that? Re-in it. Yeah, you got to rejoice. We have to be thankful for what God's done for us if we're going to get to this point. Okay, let's just take a look at these verses again. Now, I'm not going to read verse 17 again because we know that 17 just paints the picture of the darkness. It just puts us in a big, deep, dark hole. And have any of y'all ever been there in a deep, dark hole and you weren't sure if there was ever going to be any light shining in that place or not? I have. And I know that some of you have because I've been there for some of you. And I know you didn't want to stay there. You never wanted to be there again. And you may not get out of that. Is it possible that all these things could be going wrong and they stay going wrong for a long time? Could be. But does that mean that you can't be where Habakkuk was? That even though he didn't say when this goes away, he didn't say when the light comes back on, he didn't say when the music starts playing again. He said, though everything has happened, there's no meat in the fields, there's no fruit on the vine, there's nothing, everything is dark, there's nothing to eat, nothing. There's not a roof over my head, I don't have anything. I can see him saying that. He never said, now when all this is gone and everything's going good again, then I will rejoice in the Lord. Didn't say that at all. He said, even though this is happening now, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I am for us praying for each other. I am for us fellowshipping with each other, making phone calls. And if you have something you need and you feel like one of your members, fellow members, can help you, call them and ask them, can you help me pray about this? I need some relief. But you can't wait for the picture to go away. You can't wait for all that to happen. You've got to get in touch with God and serve him, have joy and happiness in him, no matter whether that goes away or not. Just not going to make any difference. So he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So there's two different things going on here. One is a rejoicing and one is a joy. If you're rejoicing, you won't have a problem joying. Any of y'all ever go for a joy ride? I see some of you smiling. You know what I'm talking about. A joy ride's just jawing around the Dutch Maid. Some of you don't even remember Dutch Maid. How many of y'all don't remember Dutch Maid? Raise your hand. Oh, well, I'll have to. Okay, I tell you what. Next time you come to my house, say, Dan, show me the Dutch Maid. Will you do that? Okay, so that's a joy ride. Well, this life is not always a joy ride. I have been on a few joy rides, and God blessed me with a few joy rides in this life. And you know what I mean by that. I'm talking about just having some good times in my life when everything seemed to be going well, and you can call that a joy ride if you'd like. But then sometimes on your joy ride, you run out of gas. And there's not a service station within 50 miles. But that can end. What he said here, he said, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Now that's a deep place spiritually speaking. That's a deep place spiritually speaking. You can't rejoice in the Lord if you don't know the Lord. And you can't rejoice in the Lord deeply like he's talking about right here if you don't know more about who he is from his word, coming from his mouth completely. So he says, I know you, Lord. I know what you've done for me in the past, and I know what you'll do for me tomorrow, because you're the same today and yesterday and today and tomorrow. That's never going to change, and that's where I live. And Lord, I thank you for that, and I'm going to rejoice in that fact. So he's not just rejoicing in the fact he knows the name the Lord. He's rejoicing in the fact that he knows all about the person that he's talking about, the Lord. Then he said, I will. You notice he's an I willer, I will. That's a definite I will. When you lock this down and you say, Lord, I'm going to rejoice in you and I'm going to have joy in the God of my salvation. When you lock that down, you can actually say, I will do that. Now that's not that you're not looking toward God for your help or your assistance in doing that. We always look to him. But that's the determination you've got to prove to God that you mean business and you're going to do that. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. I will rejoice. I'm going to do that. Many Christians have long faces. I realize that. But true believers can have a joyful heart and still have a long face, because we don't know what the long face is about. There may be some of that problems going on in their life, and they have a long face. And that's okay. As long as they've got joy in the heart, I believe that eventually that will show up. And it'll come back around, but you could have both those at the same time. Amen? Yeah. But we're not superficial in our joy. A true Christian is not superficial. If you feel like you're being superficial when you show a Christian spirit by showing a smile on your face, that could be superficial. But we're not superficial. We can't be. We've got to be real in this thing. So it's just not that kind that just doesn't get anything done. It's more like I'm a water person. I love rivers and lakes and streams and oceans and everything. I just love water. I don't know what it is about water. I'm drawn to water. But I've been up on the lake sometimes, especially Watauga, and The water can be really calm. When I go swimming in the lake, and I used to go quite a bit out at Boone, I would dive and go down, and I would go down to where you can feel a difference in the lake. There's very little movement down there, and the water gets cold down there. You run into cold streams just like cold air, and you just feel it feels totally different. You come back up, and the water would be rough on top. But it's not down there. It's settled as it can be. And that's a good illustration of how we ought to be in our lives. We can have that calm, settled feeling deep down inside when all kinds of riffles and things are happening up here on the surface. You get up in the morning, you may go and there may be tidal waves in your life tomorrow. I don't know, but I'm maybe getting you ready for that if it happens. You don't have to go all to pieces, because the God whom you serve, whom you've got the feeling of joy inside you with, he's going to keep watch on that. He's going to take care of that. You don't have to worry about it. He'll take care of it. So this man said, everything's falling apart, but I'm going to serve you, Lord. And I'm going to serve you with calmness in my heart. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, would that be a good one? The peace of God that passeth all understanding, that can be right in the very core of you and take care of it. Then he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. This joy is not in anything but the Lord. Can't put it in anything else. That's why I ask you, Where's your joy when you come to worship? What do you joy most in? Some people just like the singing. They come and to hear good singing, that's all they need. And I'm not knocking that. I love good singing. I love music. But I also know that along with good singing, there's a good word here that needs to be taught and preached and read and studied, because this is where your long-term joy is going to come from. I love a good song. I do. And I'll sing one over and over. Y'all know I've sang songs for the last 1,500 years. I know that's a stretch, but it seems like it anyway. And some of you have sang the same songs for years. It's okay. You love the song and you love to sing it, and nobody does it like you, and you sing it and it brings joy to somebody. But when I come to the house of God, I come basically to hear the gospel. And when we sing, boy, I am so happy to see our choir back in the loft. I tell you, I am. It sounded so good, and you're going to be so happy Sunday morning when we get back in there and we get Gene back in there. Gene needs to be back in there. And when he gets in the choir, y'all don't know that, but Gene can sing. I'm telling you right now. So get on him, okay? And I'm going to go to Penny's and buy him a coat just like this. And we're going to stand up here and sing. And Joan sings too. We're gonna get people in here. We need some voices, so y'all help me pray about that and then encourage them to do that, okay? He says, I will rejoice in the Lord. But you can't rejoice in someone that you don't know. Do you agree with that? Can't do it. The more I know about you, the more I can rejoice with you or rejoice in you. In fact, there was a song, to know me is to love, love, love me. Y'all know that song? That's an old secular song, but you could apply that to the Lord just as easily. The more you know Him, the more you will love Him, I promise you. And not in knowledge, not in knowledge at all. The more you go through the hard times and you see He's there for you and that He'll steal that water for you, that's when you can love Him even more. Amen? Yes. Y'all got dogs? Have you ever seen your dog in the house? If it's a house dog, do you ever see the dog get down on the carpet when the sun's shining through the window and it hits a certain spot on the carpet and the carpet gets really warm? That dog navigates to that warm spot, and it absolutely loves that warm spot. It will wear the carpet out where that warm spot is. Is it possible that Christians are missing the warm spot? You see, the Holy Spirit is directing warm spots in your heart. Wants to comfort you with the warmth of the Holy Spirit. Please get to that warm spot and bask in it. Stay in it. Don't just read the Bible for 5 minutes and go on your way and say, well, I read the Bible today. Stay in it. Stay in it and waller in it. That's a good old word. Just waller in it, roll in it, and have a good time. Stay right there in the warm spot for a while. He wants you to. He does. Okay. Then he said, I will joy in the God of my salvation. If someone were to ask you what makes you happy, Or why do you look so happy? I'll put it that way. Why do you look so happy? Do you have an answer that you wouldn't have to conjure up some way? Do you have an answer? They see you as having a different smile than this world has. There's something about the look on your face that just looks good, and they say, why do you smile so much, or why are you smiling? Do you have an answer for them? Could it be that you could say, well, I'm smiling because I'm forgiven? Could it be that you say, I'm smiling because I know the God of heaven? Could it be that you say, I'm smiling because He's my Lord, He's my Master, He's my Savior, He's my all, He's everything I ever had? Amen? We got to have some answers for the world. When they ask, they want to know. And I think we ought to be able to tell them. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Well, let's go on down. He then said, He will make my feet like hinds' feet. You don't have to know what a hinds' feet looks like. You just have to know that the hind is a deer-like animal with a different foot structure that can hang on to the sides of mountains, and their fear level is no fear at all, because they can go straight up on the mountain and get there in a short time. They're very, very fast. They don't think about where they're going. I don't think a Christian needs to give a whole lot of thought to what they're going to do in a certain situation. I believe the Holy Spirit is much faster than our minds are. And if the Holy Spirit is guiding our minds, when we get in certain situations, we'll know exactly where we're going with that. And the hind never slows down. He never has to think, okay, which rock now do I... It's just instinct. God made him that way. And when God saved you, He made you just exactly the same way. We know where we're going, and we know why we love Him. And when the world asks us why we love Him, let's just say so. You see, when you got saved, there was two things you had to do. You had to repent and believe. You might come up with a few more, I don't know, but I'm just saying you repent and you believe. On God, there's a manward and a Godward side to this. On God's side, He does the regenerating and the restoring of the person. He'll regenerate you. You don't have anything to do with that. You do have something to do with the repenting, and you have something to do with the believing, but you can't help the regeneration part of it. He does that Himself, and He'll restore you. You don't have anything to do with that either. So we know that we are what we are because He is who He is. He made me what I am. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But He made me what I am. And I don't use that as an excuse to be rude, crude, or unattractive. I don't. I know there are people who will use that and be just as rude as they can be. Well, this is just the way I am. Well, God didn't make you that way. You're that way because you're just rude and crude and unattractive. God made you. If you're one of His children, He put a spirit inside you, and it's a spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. He did. He put that in there. And we have an obligation. We have a responsibility to show it to this world. If we don't show that, we're not going to win anybody to the Lord, folks. We're not. I want you to pray about some folks who are coming to our Sunday morning service right now. Unsaved people are probably not going to come more than one service a week. And I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit will convict and convince those that are lost. And let us come with the right spirit when we come into the house of God. Don't come in with a whole lot of stuff on your mind and just pour cold water on the warm Holy Spirit that's working. Please, let's pray for these. We've got some folks who have some real spiritual needs coming into our service on Sunday morning. They won't be back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But if they do, we want to be here to be what we can be for them. So let's just continue to pray for them. He will make my feet like hinds feet, to walk upon mine high places. It's the Christian life is not just one of happiness. It's one of getting things done. It's one of getting things done. I don't want to leave this old world thinking I could have done a whole lot more for the Lord, even though I'm sure I could have. But I want to keep moving. I want to be successful for the Lord, not for me or Liberty Fellowship Church. I want to be successful because He's given me a life and I'm happy. My heart's filled with joy because of what He's done for me. And I want to share that with others. And if I'm not doing that, I'm not progressing as a Christian. I want to grow. He used the word grow. And I think we need to grow. That's going from one high place to another, by the way. When the hinds gets to going, he never takes a downward stroke. He's always going up. He never varies and goes down so he can come back up. He's going up the whole time. We need to progress in our relationship with the Lord. Then we can understand this joy that Habakkuk was talking about. Now let's just do this one thing and I'll let you go. I want to read this whole thing back one more time. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Now, if it's not blossoming, there's something wrong inside the tree. And if there's not any blossoms, there's not going to be anything else. If there's not any blossoms, there'll be no figs. So he knows there's nothing there. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. Everything's dying. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will. Can we say that? Can we say I will? I don't mean just to have words here. I'm talking about in your own heart right now. Can we say, I will. Lord, I will. Because the Lord is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds feet. He's going to make me to be what I want to be and need to be. And He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Then he said to the chief singer on my stringed instruments, we're going to sing this. And this song's going to be sung for a long time. And I hope that it reaches more and more people. We as a church need to reach more and more people. We've got to have a song in our heart. We've got to have a joyous spirit deep inside us that comes out at the right time. We've got to have a love for souls. Habakkuk had a love for what he was doing for God. He was just God's mouthpiece. We need to be God's mouthpiece. We do. Let us pray. Now, I don't know what you've received tonight that made you think. I do know that any time we read God's Word, He gives us something that'll make us think. Where am I in my relationship? What do I rejoice in? What makes me happy in my life with the Lord? And try to answer those questions. Lord, we thank You for the Scriptures. We thank You for the songs that we get to sing. We thank You for the prayers we get to pray. We thank You for the fellowship that we have with each other. God, I want a deeper walk with You. Just You. Just You. And Lord, we're going to thank you for what you're going to do for our congregation. I want to thank you for some of the movements that I see that's leading us to see that we need to reach the lost at any cost. And Lord, that we get our church back together completely. We're going to praise you, Lord, for everything. We will. We'll give you glory. I will. I thank you, Lord. Pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.